Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3:23. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's easy to assume this verse applies mainly to our working years, urging us to give our best on the job. But notice, it doesn't come with an expiration date. Today, Jeff Hanen joins us to explore a different kind of retirement. And then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest today is my friend, entrepreneur, and author, Jeff Hanen. He's passionate about helping folks transition into fulfilling lives in retirement by staying in service to the Lord. He is also on the board of directors at Kingdom Advisors. Jeff, great to have you back with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
Jeff, your book, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, is my go-to when people call the program and are transitioning into this season, because I think there's such a misunderstanding of really a biblical worldview as it relates to that really critical season of life. I was so thrilled that you wrote a fabulous article called Finding an Uncommon Retirement for our recent quarterly magazine issue, Faithful Steward. And I'd love to start there. You know, why do you think retirement is proving to be more of a problem than a solution for people in this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll start with this. I think a lot of people are asking the question, what am I going to do with my retirement? Actually, I was recently having a conversation with a woman named Ann Bell, and she came into a nonprofit one day. She's bright and soft-spoken. She was wearing these dark-rimmed glasses and carrying a teacher's bag, and she just had an honest question. She said, I'm really searching for what I'm called to. I need to know what's next. And, you know, I think Anne isn't alone. A lot of people are looking for an answer to that question. The world, and I would say the Christian church, is aging quickly. Roughly 10,000 baby boomers retire per day. And for the first time in American history, we now have more people over age 60 than under age 18.
Wow.
And one of the weird things you could potentially say, good but strange, is people are living a lot longer than when retirement or the idea of retiring at age 65 started. And so with this, some people are thinking retirement's sort of the end and then you age and die. But this is actually a whole new season of life. It could be 10 years, 20. Some people, if they retire early, could have 30 years of retirement. I think people are asking the question, what am I going to do with all of that time?
Yeah. Well, and they're ill-prepared. They also really haven't thought deeply, just as Christ followers, about what this season could look like. And you mentioned, obviously, the increasing longevity there. But what else is causing this angst among people entering this season?
Yeah. You know, retirement is an idea with a history. It really began in America around this concept of a never-ending vacation. So back in the 1960s, going back in time, post-World War II America, there was a radio advertising jingle, wake up and live in Sun City for an active way of life. Wake up and live in Sun City, Mr. Senior Citizen and wife. Don't let retirement get you down. Be happy in Sun City. It's a paradise town. Yeah. So retirement communities, they started in the 1920s, but it was really Del Webb Sun City in Arizona that started this popular idea of retirement as this nonstop vacation where you get the happy hours, you get the golf.
Yeah.
Kind of this idealized vision of retirement. But I think the challenge on this is a fewfold. First is a lot of people can't really afford this idealized vision of retirement. Second, a lot of Christians don't believe this sort of self-focused leisure vision of retirement squares with their beliefs or will be that satisfying. And I think for some people, after this initial honeymoon period soon after retirement, boredom, questions of purpose, identity really surface. They really come to the surface. And the reality is, it's not just this sort of retirement dream vision that people live into. Stats say that most people, when they move into retirement, they do two things with the majority of their time, looking at a screen and home maintenance. And I wonder, can we do better than that?
Oh, boy, we sure can. Boy, what an important conversation for all of us. I mean, we know there's health benefits to thinking differently about retirement. But as Christ followers, as people who are trying to live out a biblical worldview, boy, there is so much more we can lean into in this season of life where we have the most experience, we have the most wisdom to be able to share with a coming generation, and just to stay engaged in community. Well, when we come back, Jeff is going to unpack unpack what that better might look like for believers. He'll describe it and then give you a plan to actually lean into it. Jeff Hanen's here today. He's the author of the book, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life. Much more to come just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What are you after in life? Wealth, happiness, wisdom, or something else? The Proverbs tell us that wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. It says those who obtain it and apply it are happy and blessed. But what is wisdom? Is it being street smart, having common sense? Can you learn it from a book? Well, Jesus had this to say about wisdom. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." So the question is whether your life is truly built on the rock of Jesus. Get Anchor Devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're talking about retirement, but through the lens of Scripture. What should retirement look like for a Christ follower? Should it be different than the world's depiction and vision for retirement? Well, Jeff Hanen, my friend, is here today. Jeff wrote an article for the current edition of our magazine, Faithful Steward, titled Finding an Uncommon Retirement. And you can be sure that you get each issue of Faithful Steward when you become a FaithFi partner at faithfi.com. But Jeff, you were sharing a little bit of the background of really our culture's view on retirement before the break. And you finished with an idea that we can probably do better than that vision as believers. I'd love for you to unpack that vision for us.
Yeah, I believe we can. And so I think we need to think about what might a biblical view of retirement look like. And here's my idea, at least my conviction of what the Bible believes retirement is. I think it's laying down your past work identities, entering a new season of rest, renewal, and re-engagement as elders filled with wisdom and blessing for a coming generation. So there's a lot there. Let me briefly unpack it. Yeah. The Bible doesn't directly talk about retirement. In the book of Numbers, it briefly does. And it talks about the older men were laying down some of the work of the tabernacle, giving it to the young men. because it was physically demanding and it was difficult. So in contrast to either like a vision of aging as either the retirement dream, as we were talking about, or a work till you drop scenario, I think Scripture is realistic about aging and the need to lay down past responsibilities and then entering into a season of what I call becoming an elder, which I think is really precipitated by rest, reflection, and renewal.
Yeah. Boy, that's a compelling vision. I'd love to take that a step further. So begin to lay out for us, if you will, how we get there.
Yeah, so I think the way we get there is actually a season of rest. When I talk to people about their retirement, the retirement dream scenario does hold some interest, but what doesn't hold a lot of interest is working forever.
Yeah.
People need rest.
Right.
People need rest. And the Bible talks about this in terms of not only a day of rest, one day out of seven, but a season of rest. In Leviticus 25, it talks about letting the land lay fallow for 1 year out of every seven. I don't know very many people that can take 1 year off of work and every 7 years during their career, but I do think an intentional 3, 6, 12 months of rest and renewal can be really helpful to reflect, to give thanks, and consider what God might be calling us to next. And then I think from there, after that season of rest, really embracing this idea of an elder. And I want to do a little bit to redeem that word of elder. I think the word elderly is an insult in our culture today.
Yeah.
But the Hebrew term for elder was an indication of one's nobility. The elder would teach at the city gate, which is the ancient place of public dialogue. Mm. And I think today we'd be really wise to recover our older traditions of not only honoring our elders, but also taking a look at honoring the work that they do later in life as community leaders. So I wonder, rather than sort of this conversation about saving for retirement and maximizing financial benefits to sort of get what's coming to us, how could we take a look at creating a community of elders that are community leaders, and they're giving generously of their insight, their money, their time, their talent, their prayers to a coming generation.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that picture of what this season could look like. You know, it's no longer about just, okay, you're done, step aside, go enjoy life. And again, there's nothing wrong with some of those leisure activities, but as a part of a bigger vision for how you can invest in a coming generation and stay engaged. And I know you, Jeff, you've walked alongside a number of people that have really kind of leaned into this vision of retirement. What have you seen come from that? What can we expect from this?
Yeah, you know, I think we can expect what the Bible says in Psalm 92, a vision of human flourishing in retirement, rather than sort of becoming irrelevant or the fears of aging and health and death. The Bible in Psalm 92 says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. I love that picture of flourishing, particularly this idea of like a faithful stewardship, not only of our finances, absolutely, but a stewardship of our life, of our experiences, our skills, even the pain that we've experienced in our life. That too can be passed on to another generation and help them live well. And so for Christians, this means that retirement is not only about aging or frailty and death. We live in the hope of the resurrection. So I actually see a biblical picture of retirement as not one of either heroism, I'm going to go and change the world, or hedonism. It's all about my own pleasure, but it's really responding in love as elders, sharing wisdom, blessing, and caring for a future generation.
Hmm. Jeff, why is this such a new idea? I mean, what do we need to do as the church, kind of capital C, to lean into this and paint this picture that I think is missing from so many people?
Yeah, I think the first step is really just talking about it in our churches and in our communities. I think we do a lot of talking about retirement in terms of financially preparing for retirement, and that is very much wise. I think we need to do that work. But we're not really talking about a lot of the non-financial aspects of retirement. What does it mean to be a parent and a grandparent in retirement? What does it mean to rethink work? Could be volunteering. It could be part-time work. It could be a different career. What does it mean for me to mentor? Right? What does it mean for me to have more flexibility and leisure time, but not make leisure the centrality of my entire life? So I think the conversation just needed to happen is when we're talking about retirement, as well as with financial advisors, let's actually get a little bit more clear. What do you want your 60s, your 70s, and then your 80s to look like? And then figuring out how do we shift life to that end?
Hmm. Wow, I love that. Jeff, we always love stories, and I think they help to kind of put some meat on the bones of this vision that you're unpacking. Is there a story that comes to mind of how this can be done well?
Yeah, you know, I was actually just thinking about a gentleman I know. His name is Gary Vander Ark. He is a retired doctor. He lives in South Denver. He's now in his late 70s and retired, right? Not so retired, actually. He still teaches medical students at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Center. He still serves on nonprofit boards. He bikes almost 20 miles a day. Mm. He was the founder of a nonprofit called Doctors Care, a nonprofit that's helped thousands of Colorados medically underserved. And I was just like, when I talked to Dr. Gary Vander Ark, I said, you know what, if anybody has the right to just hang up the cleats and slow down, it's him. Yeah. But when he actually responded to me about that, he said with a broad grin, he said, well, I believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm enjoying myself too much to stop. Mm. And I think that's it. It can be fun to give and to love and to serve. And if we really believe it's more blessed to give than to receive, we'll wake up each day thinking, what can we give to others? That is a joyful vision of retirement.
Oh, boy, it sure is. And Jeff, I think to your point, having financial advisors understand this in such a way that they can come alongside their clients to not just plan for the financial side, but also to paint a picture similar to what you're describing here, really is a game changer for these professionals, isn't it?
Yeah, amen. I think there's a lot of good work that we can be doing on both sides of it. That's what does life look like and what do finances look like in retirement?
That's so good. Well, folks, if you want to take a deeper dive into this topic, pick up a copy of Jeff's book. It's called An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life. And if you'd like to explore topics like this and others to encourage and equip you in your stewardship journey, be sure to become a FaithFi partner so you're getting each edition of Faithful Steward, our magazine, delivered to your mailbox. Jeff, so thankful for you, my friend. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Jeff Hanen. Again, pick up a copy of his book, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, wherever you buy books. We're going to take a quick break and then back with your financial questions on any topic. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Some chances come along once in a lifetime. When they do, you've got to be ready. AFA Action's Center for Judicial Renewal has such a chance to help the Trump administration make good choices, nominating men and women as Supreme Court justices and other federal judges. Your gift helps make that possible, and we'll give you a free Bible study by Stephen McDowell, God's Blueprint for Life, Liberty, and Property, as a thank you gift. Visit AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Boy, what a treat to have my friend Jeff Hanen here today. If you want to pick up a copy of his book, you can look for An Uncommon Guide to Retirement wherever you buy books. You'd like to read the article he referenced in Faithful Steward, we'd love for you to become a partner and receive each issue of Faithful Steward, our quarterly magazine with insightful articles like the one Jeff was describing today. You will also receive each of our studies and devotionals as they roll out. You'll get them mailed to your door pre-release, and this is a great time to become a partner because issue 2 of Faithful Steward is due out in 2 weeks. That's where Jeff's article, you can read that, alongside our brand new study. We're so excited about Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money, written by John Cortinez. It's our next Faith-Fi study. It's a deep dive into the book of Ecclesiastes, and it is so rich. I'm confident it'll be a game changer in your life as a faithful steward. So become a partner today. Make sure you are ready to receive our next partner mailing. It's going out in 2 weeks. You can become a partner today at faithfi.com. Just click give at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com. Click give. All right, I'm ready to take your calls and questions today. Can't wait to hear what's on your mind. The lines are open, so this is the time to go ahead and get in the mix. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, but that won't last for long. So go ahead and call right now. Before we head to the phones, in the news today, millions of older Americans lost their jobs during the early months of the pandemic, but 5 years later, many are finding new opportunities to remain in the workforce, according to the Economic Policy Institute's analysis of federal data. Employers are increasingly offering flexible options like phased retirement, part-time roles, and hybrid work to retain experienced employees. One lasting impact of the pandemic has been the rise of remote work, which course allows some older workers to delay retirement. Research suggests that working remotely can reduce the likelihood of retiring early and may extend careers by nearly a year. That extra year can help workers delay claiming Social Security, which we talk about a lot here. That, of course, can help them preserve retirement savings. Now, not all jobs support remote work, and some large employers are pushing back toward full-time office policies. Still, many career experts say that older workers can increase their staying power by updating their tech skills, earning certifications, and highlighting soft skills like mentoring and communication and leadership, especially through strong online job profiles. I will say, speaking of jobs, U.S. payroll growth totals 177,000 in April. We just got this data in the last hour. That defied expectations. That's really good news that these non-farm payrolls increased beyond what was expected by most economists. A seasonally adjusted 177,000 for the month of April. That is good news. And the unemployment rate stayed at 4.2% as expected, indicating that the labor market is holding relatively stable. So all that good news. Jerry Boyer will stop by a little later in the broadcast alongside Walker Wildman. We'll get Jerry's take on that. What does that mean for what we for all intents and purposes, seems to be a softening economy. Good news that this most recent labor data from literally just the month of April is holding pretty strong. So I think that bodes well for our economy without a doubt. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Again, the number 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in New York. Hi, Sue. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Nice to talk to you.
You as well.
So thankful for your program and all the wisdom that you guys are able to offer.
Thank you.
I started a new job at the end of September, and I'm a little late on signing up for my 401k. I'm 61, so I was looking over the what they offered, and so it says that you can do like conservative and moderate conservative, and I just don't know what I should do, if I should like go gung ho. They offer 6% match, so
okay.
It sounds like a good deal. I don't know if those investments, though, are going to be, worthy of the kingdom. But So I don't know if what, because maybe the delay is God saying I shouldn't do it at all. But if they're going to match 6%, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. These are all great questions. And I love what you're hitting on here. One is around this idea of you continuing to sock away. I realize you don't feel like you've done as much as you would have liked to, but you know, now's a great opportunity. Your income is your best wealth building tool, and when you can put that away and invest it, even despite kind of the short-term volatility we're experiencing right now, I think a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio is going to be your very best way. If you can be systematic, limit your lifestyle, and just sock money away, especially with this great 6% match, which is very generous. That's free money. I mean, if you put in 6% and they match it, that's 100% return on your money on day one. You're not going to get that anywhere else. And then obviously, if you can push beyond that to maybe a goal of 10 to 15%, that would be ideal. But you've raised two questions. What is the right mix of investments based on, you know, what should be an appropriate risk profile for you at this stage of life? And then secondly, what about alignment with your Christian values? Normally we would use the rule, it used to be the rule of 100. Now with people living longer, it's the rule of 110. But basically you take 110 minus your age. So, you know, let's call it 60. That would be basically the result of that, which is 50, 110 minus 60, is what you put in equities or stocks, and then you would put the balance in fixed income or bonds. So basically what that says is somebody who's around 60, you would want a 50-50 portfolio, stocks to bonds. And so I think that would probably most likely fit into what they're describing moderately conservative. If you go with the conservative, that's probably too cautious and misses out on needed growth. You could go one level up from moderately conservative, but I think moderately conservative fits your age, timeline, and risk profile. But let's do this. I've got to take another break, so you stay right there. We'll talk about investing, aligning with your values after this. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
The Antichrist isn't going to appear at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation as a baby. He will be a full-grown adult, already in a position of leadership. He will have lived upon the earth for some 30, 40, or 50 years before his appearance at the beginning of the tribulation. He may already be alive.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Escape the Coming Night, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity.
Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
What if managing your money could actually draw you closer to God? What would happen if we began to see God as our ultimate treasure? The FaithFi app helps you do more than budget. It helps you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. With easy-to-use envelope features, top biblical financial content, and a supportive in-app community, you'll learn to steward God's resources wisely and grow in generosity. Download the FaithFi app today from your app store or visit faithfi.com and click app.
Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. We have a few lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Sue in New York. She's 61 with a new job that she's just starting. They're offering a 6% 401k match. She's wondering if she should choose the conservative or moderately conservative investment option. And I was saying, Sue, that, you know, right now in this season of life, with you being a little behind, we don't want to take too much risk trying to, quote, catch up. But at the same time, we don't want to be too conservative. So I think that moderately conservative allocation is probably the right one. I think the key is limit your lifestyle. If you could get 10 to 15% going into that 401k plus the 6% match, that would be fabulous. But just do what you can do. The key is to be systematic regardless of what the market is doing. But I think that would be probably the right mix of investments for you, keeping in mind, even though you're seeing yourself as kind of relatively close to retirement, even if it's 10 years off, your time horizon, you know, none of us know the day or the hour the Lord will call us home, but you need to be thinking in terms of probably a three-decade, you know, investment time horizon, which means you're still thinking long-term, even in your early 60s. So I think that's, you know, the right approach. In terms of faith alignment, you're correct. I mean, when you use these kind of cookie cutter models of investments, they're not going to be screened for Christian values, which means you could be in some companies, you know, that would be misaligned with your values. I think the extent to which, you know, these 401k providers are beginning to add more faith-based investing options, that's exciting. This space is maturing quickly. We're trying to lead the charge on that here at Kingdom Advisors and FaithFi in many ways. And what's exciting is that there's just so much interest around this space right now because so many Christians, when presented with the opportunity to align their values with their capital deployment through investments, are saying, yes, sign me up. And so the larger financial services industry is recognizing that, which means we're seeing more of these fund families coming into existence that have an explicitly faith-based approach. And it's, although it's slower than kind of the rest of the market, these 401ks are going to begin to add these investment options. So I would just say get started, and then once it's available, perhaps you migrate over to a faith-based strategy at that point. Does that make sense?
Yes, okay. Very much. Thank you so much.
Good.
I just have one more thing. I had been talking to the Lord about being a good steward, and then all of a sudden I have to move after 8 years. So if you could be praying for me. Mm. Of where I should go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Obviously, there's a lot weighing on you there, Sue, that we can hear in your voice. What is most concerning to you right now?
Oh, I thought I was going to get married, and it's he's a widow, and he's just afraid to you know, love somebody like he did before. Yeah. So he's like, you know, he likes to think about. It's been like 6 years, you know, and we've been together for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's a Christian and everything, but he just won't trust the Lord for what's next. And so I feel like God wants me to, I don't know if he's going to move me away from him, but I mean, he's still around and we still hang out, but yeah. My plans were, you know, and then, you know, I hear from my Bible teachers, don't stop praying, you know, until God, you know, says it's over. So then, you know, and then I get glimpses of hope and stuff. But I guess for right now, he wants me to just let him go and, you know, and follow the Lord and see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
But I still have to move. So
yes.
I my plans were I was going to move with him, you know, into his place. And I just love it there. But I don't know.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, Sue, let me just encourage you. The Lord knows what's on your heart. I would say do make this a matter of prayer. But I think even bigger than that is really just knowing, God, you are enough. And asking the Lord, Lord, what are you teaching me during this season? And perhaps he's doing a new work in your life. And, you know, it's ultimately about your relationship with him and knowing that God is your ultimate treasure and that he is your abundance and sufficiency. And if he decides, you know, that to make it clear that this is the path you're to go forward, we can trust him in that. And if not, we know and can be confident that he has a wonderful plan for your life. So I think you're on the right track. I wouldn't get ahead of the Lord in this and certainly wouldn't move in with him, with you being unmarried. I think perhaps saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you and take that next step to be a wise steward, make it clear where I'm to go for my living arrangement. You are enough. I find my identity in you and not anyone else. And Lord, if you were to bless me with the ability to marry, would you make that clear? And so we're going to trust the Lord does give you that wisdom. Be in his word. I think, you know, the Holy Spirit, if you've submitted your life to Christ and trusted him for as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and gives you power and wisdom. And so just ask him to make that clear. We'll ask him as well, just for those that know him and fear him and love him that are around you, to affirm what they're seeing in your life as well. But I hope today was helpful to you, certainly from a financial perspective. And we'll ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you. Thank you for your call today. God bless you, Sue. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi there. Such wise advice. Thank you. I'm looking into annuities, and I know nothing about them.
Sure.
Risks, and if they say it's 6% for 3 years, is that locked in? I looked up the rating. It's a B++ rating by AM Best. So that's my main question, is the security of annuities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good question. You know, I would say they are relatively safe. You know, they do have oversight. And, you know, ultimately it's backed by the, you know, insurer's financial strength. But that AM Best rating, I think, you know, is important. So that, along with Moody's and S&P, I would just, as a general rule of thumb, you know, say I would stick with companies that are A rating or better. Even A minus would be fine. I would probably, if it were me, avoid a B rated company. That's just my, you know, perspective on it. There are plenty of them out there. You know, I'm not going to make a specific recommendation, but I'll give you one example. You know, one company that has gotten a lot of attention lately, they're online only, but they're, you know, A-minus rated and have some phenomenal, you know, rates, is Gainbridge. Gainbridge, you could look them up, but that would just be an example of the type of company that I would look at just to see, you know, what kind of rates I can find with a very highly rated company, because again, those guarantees are, you know, only as good as the insurer. There's no principal guarantee there. So that would be the direction I would go. In terms of annuities, just in general, I think, you know, they're complex. They do have some lockup periods, meaning, you know, often, you know, you might only be able to get to 10% of your money, you know, per year without penalties. So you just need to understand, you know, that with that floor and that guaranteed return comes some trade-offs, namely illiquidity. But I think for those that are risk averse, wanting to transfer that risk away from the market to an insurance company, they can be very good. I think we also need to have good diversification. So it may be that you have, you know, a couple of different annuities with different companies just to spread your risk. But I would say in terms of the risk spectrum, they certainly are on the more conservative end. And I would say even the most conservative end, especially if we get a very strongly rated company. So that's why I'd look for A or higher. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Are you longing for something more in your Christian life? More connection with God? More victory over sin? What you really need is the power of the Holy Spirit. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress starts a fascinating study called Unleashed, Experiencing the Power of the Holy Spirit. Join us this week for Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Have your dreams been shattered? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Somebody told me early in my ministry, he said, you know, if you preach to broken hearts, you'll always have an audience. And I don't know what your need is today, but God does his best work in the midst of broken, shattered dreams.
Find real hope in Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Boy, we've covered a lot of ground today, but let's turn the corner. Let's talk about the economy. We're also going to touch on some corporate engagement work. To do that is our good friend Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist, joins us each Friday in this segment. He's also a frequent contributor. And Walker Wildman from the American Family Association along with us as well to talk about AFA's incredible work in the area of corporate engagement. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, more great. Rob.
Good to have you here. Jerry, let's start with you. Great article out that I saw on you this week related to your work in corporate engagement, you and Susan and the team. That was exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was very nice. That was an unexpected blessing for us. Thank you for noticing it.
Well, it really celebrated. It was in Bloomberg, I believe, and it celebrated the incredible work you've been doing, largely behind the scenes. So great to get it out in the forefront. So let's start there. Maybe just give us a quick update, and then we'll get Walker's take on it, on what you all have been working on.
Well, working on the corporate engagement, I mean, it's not possible. We don't own the shares, right? So if it's not, you know, American Family Association owning the shares or other ministries who are following in their wake owning the shares, then we've got no ability to be in the background. So really appreciate their willingness to step forward. And there's, you know, there's a bunch coming up with AFA, Intel. I know Walker's working on his remarks to Intel. You know, they have been making some charitable contributions to the Human Rights Campaign, which is an extremist organization, and he's asking them to look at that. And also, why block grants to Christian ministries in their charitable match? Also, Verizon, which has a history of discrimination when it comes to advertising for not advertising on conservative media. So they're working on that. Schwab meeting is coming up, but no proposal there because they did what AFA asked, which is to be neutral in terms of giving services, payment or banking services to. So, and PayPal is coming up next. So a lot going on, and Walker's in the middle of it, you know, preparing his speeches or recording his speeches to these companies. So he can probably say more about that than I can at this point.
Yeah, Walker, tell us a little bit about what you've been working on.
Yeah, so this latest proposal is, as Jerry said, is with Intel Corporation, major, huge corporation, multi-billion dollar company. And what it has to do with is their charitable giving practices. And what we've noticed over the years in the whole political realm and culture war realm is that a lot of these major corporations that you and I shop from or buy from or use their products, they're funding a lot of this left-wing garbage. That's what we've noticed, to the tune of hundreds of millions, sometimes billions, in some instances. And that's not what consumers want. That's not what shoppers want. They want these companies to just do business, to provide goods and services, and stay out of the politics and the culture, cultural issues, some of these hot-button issues. And so that's what we're asking Intel to do, is to just simply take a neutral viewpoint and stop funding some of these left-wing political groups like the Human Rights Campaign. And so it's not really a hard ask. And I think the momentum's in our favor because there was a report out by NBC in the last 2 weeks that some of these LGBT pride parades that have been going on for decades around the country, they're starting to see their funds dry up because these corporations are deciding that, hey, this isn't for us. This doesn't serve our best interest from a business perspective. And so the momentum's in our favor, and we're hoping that Intel will, the shareholders will approve this proposal so we can stop the political funding using company dollars.
Walker, this is pretty exciting. I know, you know, the work that your grandfather started so many years ago, so often that work, it was important work and it moved the needle, but it was slow. You know, you'd get small wins along the way, and along the way you might even ask yourself, are we really making a difference? And of course he was, and AFA always has been, and we can celebrate the massive wins that have occurred over the years. But it's exciting to see some of these initiatives in corporate engagement yield pretty quick fruit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, between negotiating with the companies prior to the shareholder meeting, because some of these companies, they just want us to pull the proposals. I don't even want to talk about it publicly, that is, at the meeting. So they want us to pull it. So we negotiate with some of the companies. We've had some success. But to your point, we just got to show up. I mean, showing up is half the battle. And that's what the left has done. They've showed up for decades. And so we've got to do the same thing for our purposes and for our benefit. And that's what we're doing with these companies.
Wow, it's incredible. Jerry, it's got to be encouraging just to see the momentum here, not only in the response of the companies, but now with the media picking it up. I mean, a major outfit like Bloomberg. I mean, it does seem like there is somewhat of a wave here.
Yeah, some people call it a vibe shift, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. So there's something going on. There's a shift away from kind of the extreme left agenda, which took tremendous hold in corporations. I mean, you know, like Walker just said, there's a drying up of funding for these pride parades. But just think about how far we got. That premier American brands aimed at families across America, in middle America, were basically saying, hey, let's have a whole month to talk about a kind of sex we have. And a kind of sex which all religious traditions found to be immoral throughout almost, you know, throughout history, right? I mean, just, you know, think about how strong the incursions of the other side were, that became totally normalized, where someone who came along and said, I'm not sure shareholder dollars should go for that. Oh, you're a hate group. That's how off kilter we got. So celebrating those victories, but let's put that in the context of it got really bad. No company should be funding that sort of thing. It's not a good use of shareholder dollars. It's indecent. I wouldn't have a heterosexual month. companies shouldn't be having months or parades about what kind of sex anyone has. It's not their core business. They ought to be doing sneakers or banking or software. It's just rewarding for me to see this. I've seen AFA fighting this battle over a long time. They engaged with Target a long time ago. Boycotts can have a little bit of an effect, but it's hard to get people to boycott. But when you add shareholder engagement, that adds a leverage point. And also a cultural shift going on. We're seeing dominoes fall, and it's really exciting to see, and glory be to God for it.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, let's talk about what's happening in the broader economy. Obviously, perhaps a surprise. I'm not sure if it was for you, but I think the consensus was that we wouldn't see U.S. payroll growth this morning hold up like it did in April. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it was above expectations. I guess it surprised me a little bit. It didn't surprise me as much because the media has a very strong negative, kind of valence to its coverage right now. Now, as you know, I'm against the trade war, and I think we probably have entered a recession, a mild recession, which is different than kind of the media narrative, which is everything's falling apart and it's a total economic collapse. So when you have that narrative out and 177,000 jobs are created, it's like, oh, well, that's a shock. Well, not really. America's a pretty strong economy. GDP shrank, 0.3% last quarter. It's reasonable to expect that the job market's pretty strong. Now, they revised down the previous 2 months by 58,000. So we're rolling along, 150 to 170,000 jobs a month. That is not good, but it's not terrible either. It's consistent with a slow growth economy. It's not a collapse. And it's not a boom. I think the bigger number, by the way, jobless claims were up a lot this week. So that means next month is probably going to be worse in terms of job creation. I think the bigger number this week was that we found out that in the first quarter, the economy did contract by 0.3%. The kind of dictionary definition of a recession is two quarters in a row of contracting GDP. So that amounts to a half a recession. So there's something going on here, and it's not good. Now, on the other hand, the president would say, yeah, we have to go through this painful thing, but they're going to come to the table, and then we're going to be able to get rid of these tariffs. Okay, if that works, hallelujah. All I'm saying is it's hurting the economy now. That we can see now. That's pretty much indisputable.
Well, we did get an all caps Truth Social post minutes after the data came out from the president. And he said, quote, just like I said, and we're only in a transition stage, just getting started. And then he doubled down on the Fed, saying consumers have been waiting for years to see prices come down. No inflation. The Fed should lower its rates. So obviously he's wanting Federal Reserve Chairman Powell to act here, huh?
Yeah, he is. I don't know. I mean, gold is at $3,300 an ounce. I don't think the markets think that inflation danger has gone away. We had 1 month of low inflation. And that GDP number that just came out, there's a GDP inflation number as well that's associated with that. And that was kind of high. I don't think we can give up the fight on inflation because of a month or two of low inflation. So I do not think the central bank should be debasing the currency anymore. It went, it went up. It increased the money supply vastly. Every president wants low interest rates. But low interest rates, if the low interest rates are earned, how do you earn low interest rates? By being a saving society and not a borrowing society. I mean, interest rates reflect the market. But when the government pushes interest rates down artificially by flooding the market with cheap money, that's inflationary. The president really had one job in terms of the economy, beat inflation. So I would not be pushing for more monetary debasement if I were the president.
Just 30 seconds left. However, I know, although you're quick to say I'm not big on the tariffs and we need to watch inflation, you're pretty encouraged about the deregulation and some of the tax changes we're talking about and what that could mean for the future growth of the U.S. economy, right?
Hugely encouraged by the deregulation, very much by the tax cuts. If we make them happen, I think those should have been the priority. Get on Congress, fight them, get them to fight through the tax cuts. I'm optimistic about the American economy because I think that the president is learning about the trade war kind of experience. He's a pragmatist. So And focus on China. They're the enemy. Don't focus on fighting the whole world.
Very good. That's Jerry Boyer, Walker Wildman. Gentlemen, thanks for being here today. Big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, Jim Henry, and everybody here at FaithFi. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.